Keith, when you and I were talking in the first part of the half hour about the hate for the Jews,
right,
how does it affect our national elections, do you think?
Well, I think the part of morality and what have you is in question, because I think one of the big issues in the election is going to be the abortion issue. And there are people that are almost violently on either one side or the other. And it kind of goes back to certain things about others that we don't agree with. And I think that's the dividing line.
One of the other articles I was going to do for you this morning, which I chose not to because it was just, I didn't feel good about it. It was Pastor MacArthur in a question and answer situation. It's where a young lady came to the microphone and said that she had a transgender sibling. And as a Christian, how should we handle this? He did about the best 6 minutes of how to handle this. And the first thing he says, it's impossible because, like you said, it's what? X.
Yeah. XX and XY.
Period. Speaking of that, that's a scientific fact, right, Keith?
It is.
David Reeves. Reeves arrives. And I'll figure it out. David, which is Reeves or Reeves?
It is Reeves.
All right. Well, then why'd you spell it this way?
He didn't spell it that way. His mom and dad did.
As an old football announcer, you'd have been Reeves till somebody came up from the coach.
Hey, that's Reeves.
You know, because I'm looking for the E.
David.
The national election as it relates to science and faith. Wow. Man, is that a great open question. Welcome to Branson.
That is right on.
Thank you, Charlie and Keith, for having me.
It's a pleasure. Before we get into that, we want to find out a little bit about David Reeves. Who's the guy that played Superman? His name was Reeves. I wonder if he's a related. Anyway, David, tell me.
And it was spelled differently. Yeah.
Yeah, tell me where you were born and grew up, and then we'll get into today's subject.
Absolutely. Well, I've lived most of my life in Middle Tennessee, and I grew up collecting fossils and interested in astronomy. Always loved looking through telescopes and just exploring nature, but the more I realized what I was looking at, I realized that, well, nature really isn't natural. Nature is just God's creation that we're looking at. And I was so astounded at the beauty and the complexity and the design of everything that at around 16, I began taking photos of space, astrophotography, photos of galaxies and nebula and all of these beautiful things. And my jaw hit the floor when I first took a photo of the Great Orion Nebula, because I'd seen those kind of things in Sky and Telescope magazine. I'd seen them in Hubble space photography. But, yeah, I guess I was a little bit skeptical. I always wondered, maybe they colored it or doctored it somehow. It can't look that good. And then I took the picture for myself, and I was blown away. And it reminded me of a verse in Psalm 19 that you probably both know. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And it was that pivotal moment that I had to ask myself, why is this a hobby? Why is astronomy and all of these things a hobby? And why couldn't I use things like God's creation to point back to the Creator? So at 18, I formed a nonprofit and began speaking in churches and conferences and all over the world in Christian media with television shows. It's been one of the most amazing and truly adventurous rides of my life. But now I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and just outside of Nashville, we opened up a 100,000-square-foot museum called the Wonders Center and Science Museum. It's the largest museum in Tennessee, science museum in Tennessee, and we have families all over the country pouring in to come see these exhibits. And you could spend all day, you could spend multiple days, but here's what you're not going to find. You're not going to find the ascent from ape-like creature to human. You're not going to find the chimpanzee turning into an upright walking man. We leave out the atheistic assumptions, and we put the real facts of science.
Well, David, let me tell you, you're talking to the right crowd, because we've been doing this show for over 26 years. I'm going to list you some names of people that you would know very, very well. And then I will tell you, being from Middle Tennessee, I'm from the Boot Hill of Missouri, where my dad said we had some relatives hanging by their necks, none by their tails. That's what my father said to me. And some of those people came across the river from Tennessee, let me tell you, Keith. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna list some names here, and then you can tell me if you know any of these names or if I'm all wet. You ready?
I'm ready.
Carl Ball.
Yes.
He knows bones, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Hubble Telescope.
That's a big one.
There's a Missouri connection there. You know.
Tell him where that is.
Well, he's from Missouri.
The development. What's the new scope? What's the new telescope?
Oh, what's that new one they got up there?
The James Webb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
How
pretty awesome?
How awesome is that?
That is amazing. It's allowed us to go deeper in space than we could have ever imagined. We're seeing details now with the James Webb that we didn't know existed with the Hubble, and yet we were so amazed with the Hubble because, you know, there was this one photo that took a pinpoint photo of space with the Hubble Ultra Deep Field, and they took it in between two stars that they thought, well, probably there's not much there. Well, there were 10,000 galaxies.
Oh my!
And now we're talking about the James Webb, which is about 10 times more powerful than the Hubble, so there's no telling what we're about to find, but you know, I can confidently say that whatever we find, it's going to point right back to God.
James, Keith and I have a round table here. It's just like a kitchen table, and we call it our round table here in Branson. And so we'd call different people to the table. Yesterday we had Peter come in for a little conversation because Keith wanted to find out what in the world, right, Keith?
Yeah, what were you thinking?
Yeah. So I want to bring some people to our table today. I want to bring in some people from the anti-Semites. I'd like to bring them to the table today. Mm-hmm. The transgender community, members of LGBTQ, I'd like to get all that, the radical left, I'd like to bring them to the table and sit down. So just sit down a minute, and you'll have a chance to talk in just a minute, but I want you to meet a new friend of ours. I want you to meet a friend. His name is David Reeves. David, would you tell him about your place, and then would you show him some pictures? And somebody from the LGBTQ community said, wait a minute, we're not talking about you yet. We want you to look at these pictures. You cannot tell me that all these groups that are at the round table could not look at what you're saying and go, wow, that's amazing. Your comment.
Yeah, that's what I have found, is that all of these breaking discoveries within the scientific realm, you don't even have to be a scientist to appreciate them. All you have to do is just look at what is being discovered. And what you find is that there's this pattern of complexity, this pattern of design, and I call those patterns God's fingerprints, right? Because from the very creation, God has left us these clues throughout his universe to his existence. And sometimes we try to be blind to the obvious, sometimes we try to overlook those clues, but God's fingerprints are everywhere. And when you look at these photos of things that are discovered in space, when you look at the new discoveries within biology and our DNA code, what it's showing us is that we are wonderfully made. We're made in the image of God. And it's getting hard to deny, so much so that some of my atheistic colleagues would actually say, you know, everything is pointing to design, and we have to admit that, but maybe the design was caused by aliens, right? So it's this intellectual thing where somehow we find it hard to accept that there is a creator God, so we're trying to push it to another creator like aliens. That only backs up the problem. We have to be intellectually honest and realize we do have a creator. It is the God of the Bible. And that means that, you know, he has placed rules on his creation. In other words, we know that gravity is probably going to work tomorrow and the next day just like it's working today. Well, unfortunately, the same thing happens with biology, right? Biology has rules. There is male, there's female, and it's very difficult to break away from those rules because they're God's rules. They're rules of the universe.
Well, let me tell you, you are spot on, and I'm excited to continue to dive into this. You used a term I'm going to try to coin, Keith, and if he'll let us steal it, intellectual honesty. I love that.
Yeah, that was great, David.
Now, we're at the table. We've got all these different views, and we've got people going, Wow. And we're not talking about LGBTQ. We're not talking about left-wing politics. We're not talking about abortion. We're just watching right now. And then guess what? David stands up and says, wait, there's a guy in the hallway I want you to meet.
Yeah.
So he got his pictures out. He's got the slideshow present. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, Louis, come on down here a minute. So Louis Giglio walks in.
Yeah.
And you say, Louis, explain to these people what you see in these pictures. What would Louis say?
He would say that he sees design that could never be possible without a designer. He would clearly see the patterns of God in what we find throughout the natural world. And you know, Louis Giglio is a good example. And maybe even a better example would be, what if Dr. Wernher von Braun walked in right now? And Dr. Wernher von Braun was the leader of NASA. He sent men to the moon. He was this brilliant scientist who is basically leading a government organization. If he walked in right now, he would say, because he did say, I'll give you a direct quote. He said, a lot of people look at science and religion as antagonists. He said, they're not. They're sisters. While science is trying to better understand creation, religion is trying to better understand the Creator. And I love that, because what he's basically saying, and what a lot of these scientists are saying, is you can't have creation, the world around us, without a Creator, God. You can't have design, which we see all over nature, without a designer. So what all of the greatest scientists, who are, again, intellectually honest, are telling us is that we see design fingerprints that could only come from a grand engineer, and then all you have to do is figure out who that grand engineer is. And Charlie and Keith, I know who that grand engineer is.
We do, too, because we read the beginning of the book, and he formed it. And then when I read it again on John last night, and Jesus was there with him, because John, and started out John in the beginning, he was here before me. I got another one, and then we'll get this scenario out of the way, because the guy got ready to leave, and all the people are just enamored. All the left wing, the green, you know what I'm talking about, Keith?
Right, the green.
The global warming alarmists.
Global warming guys.
You know, telling us, and I realize I want to be a steward of the land.
Oh, of course.
I get that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But just a second before we leave, there's a guy walking out. Hey, Ken, come on in here. So bring Ken Ham in here for a minute.
Absolutely, and that's not all that far from you.
That's right. No, all of these guys. I go to brunch with Carl Baugh. I've been to breakfast with Ken Ham. We sit and we talk about some of these issues, and what Ken would say would parallel everything that I have said so far, in so much that he thinks it's, you know, probably the most important issue of our day, and I would concur with that. Ken has done so much research on all of these things, and yet people tend to push it aside as a secondary issue. Now, I get that we don't have to understand creation to understand Christianity, but really the key elements of Christianity can all be found back in creation. We're talking about the origin of man and woman. We're talking about the origin of sin and why we need a Savior, why Jesus came. We're talking about the origin of the sun, the moon, the stars, the entire universe. We're talking about the origin of death, disease, cancers. We're talking about the origin of our human state in which we will not live forever. It all goes back to the very beginning. So it's a crucial issue.
And what I love about the answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum, they never tell you you're wrong, Keith.
Right.
They show you the evidence and let you make that decision. We got time for one more question, so I'll get the guy in the back of the room. He just came in earlier. He's kind of a long hair, big thick glasses, and he says the following question. But what about that tooth they found in the Antarctica that was 461 billion years old, and they found it in a rock? And Keith, you said,
I don't know. What about it?
Are you serious? Is that your answer? Are you serious?
That's my answer.
You're at the table and that's your answer?
That's my
answer.
Well,
then ask Dave the question.
Dave, how do you answer that question to the guy?
The best answer is, tell me how you know that it is 461 million years old.
Yeah, were you there when they put it?
That's right. Did it have a tag on it that says 400? I was buried 461 million years old. Did you see them place it there 461 million years ago? And instead, what they'll tell you is that, no, we used radiometric dating methods, to which you would reply, well, like what? And they would say, well, we know that carbon-14 dating has proven that the Earth is millions of years old, which I would tell you right then, well, these people who are talking aren't real scientists, because real scientists, I'm talking about nuclear engineers, people who know how it works, will plainly tell you that carbon-14 dating is only good up to maybe 80,000 years max, and we have found measurable amounts of C14 in dinosaurs, meaning that dinosaurs went extinct much less than 80,000 years ago. We have found C14 in diamonds, which are supposed to be billions of years old. Well, guess what? C14 in diamonds means that diamonds are only thousands of years old. To me, this shows that if we are actually looking at the data, then C14 is showing us that the Earth is approximately the same age that the Bible has always told us. And it's only when we use these other methods that are fraught with assumptions like potassium-argon dating or rubinium-strontium, lead-lead, some of those others, that supposedly you get older results. You have to know what you're talking about. And most of these people, they don't know the real science behind radiometric dating.
So I see a hand in the back. Oh, it's Carl. Carl Ball raised his hand and said, before we leave today, it's been good having everybody together. I hope somehow your minds have been changed a little bit. You probably haven't changed your politics. You probably haven't changed your belief in transgenderism. But maybe it's giving you the thought that there is a creator that created you. And when you read his book about you, he loves you and he cares for you. And Carl says, before you leave, I got a little chart with me I'd like to show you. It's about the eye.
Yeah.
David, would you tell us what Carl's going to tell us about the eye?
Yeah, he's going to show you the efficient design of the human eye. The human eye has complexity that can't be matched, and yet it's not just complexity, it's actual useful complexity. So what we find is that even Darwin admitted that the human eye might be a problem for his theory of evolution, in which he spent the next something like 40 or 50 pages trying to explain how the eye could evolve on his own. So he still believed that it happened by chance, and yet he said that this was one thing that was extremely hard to explain. People have said that the eye is ill-designed in humans because you can find different optic nerves at different lengths that seem to make it harder for the eye to pick up light. Well, the human eye can pick up a single photon of light. So I think the eye has an efficient design. If some of these areas in the eye that are sensitive to light were much closer to the front of our eyes, then we would basically be blinded every day. So we should praise the Lord that we have an eye that is designed in the way it is.
Well, and Keith's eyes were like that, and he's blind. And he's been blind for 40-plus years.
Yep.
And so tell him how important that light is, Keith.
Well, that light is extremely important because it gathers the eye as a gathering device for the brain. And what a great design that is. And without the retina sending those signals up the optic nerve, then you don't see. However, one of my eyes, don't know why this is the case because I lost them at different times for different reasons, generates its own light. Have you ever heard of that? Your brain knows it's supposed to be receiving light up the optic nerve, so it generates itself a little light. Nothing to it except a spot of light, but it's really interesting sometimes how that happens.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. It is weird.
Well, David, can you stay with us? Sure you can. It's 9 o'clock where you live. You didn't have to get up early this morning.
That's right.
This has been fun. This is amazing.
Can you stay with us a few minutes? We got another question for you on the other side of 8 o'clock, and Keith wants to know about where you're located.
Yeah, you're east of Nashville, are you? You're east of Nashville?
I am just west of Nashville, and I'm here for you. So I will see you on the other side of the break.
Hey, you grab a quick cup of coffee or whatever, and we'll be right back on Good Morning Ozark. So you stay with us. It is 27. What?
You don't think he picked Tennessee in the tournament, do you?
I don't know. We'll find out.
He's from Middle Tennessee area, so he might not be a Tennessee fan.
He's probably Belmont, huh? We'll find
Belmont's
out.
Belmont's not in it.
Oh, they're not
just
in it.
Thought I'd mention that. Okay.
Maybe that's who he picked. He could be like me. All right, we're going to continue. Good Morning Ozark. So you stay with us. David's going to stay as well. And I've got a question for him, which he'll be able to answer in a second. Where is he going to spend April 8th and why? We'll be back after
good
this
question.
27 degrees. Herb's going to keep us updated on the weather. You're listening to Keith O'Neill, Charlie Ingram on Good Morning Ozarks on Life FM. Welcome back to the 7:30 half hour of Good Morning Ozarks. Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram. If you missed any of the last half hour, go to KLFCRadio.com later today.
Well, Keith, you listen to Good Morning Ozarks because you and I have intellectual honesty.
Yes.
You like that word?
I like it.
I love it. Hey, we got some questions to get out of the way first. I said Brentwood was west of Nashville. Am I wrong?
So Brentwood is actually a little bit south of Nashville. I'm in Dixon, which is indeed west of Nashville.
Yeah, I know where Dixon is. Yep, out there toward Loretta Lynn's place.
That's right.
Yep, there you go.
A lot of
35 minutes.
Apparently, you couldn't afford to leave and come to Branson like most people did, like Mel Tillis, so you just made your place there. When you want your little annex built sometime, you call the radio station, and we happen to know people who know people, and we'll get you a little annex out here in the Branson area.
There you go.
Keith's got a couple of things, and I want to ask you the final question.
David, you being the scientific guy, and you mentioned that you got started early looking at the stars and what have you and taking pictures, where are you going to be on April 8th?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. You know, for the last total solar eclipse, I was in Oregon, actually out in the high desert in eastern Oregon, which was perfect visibility for that time. However, this time I am headed to Texas, and there are about two or three different spots that I have earmarked, and I'm going to be following the weather all the way out there. I'm supposed to be, if you guys know, Institute for Creation Research, I'm supposed to be speaking, at an event on, I think it's the 7th, no, the 6th, I believe, a few days before the eclipse, somewhere in the Dallas region with some of the guys at ICR, with another friend of mine, with two astronauts, and then I'll be talking. And, then we're gonna hang out for a bit, and then I'm headed wherever the weather will allow, somewhere in Texas, probably south of Dallas or east of Dallas, to try to catch the total solar eclipse, which, guys, if y'all are anywhere near totality, doesn't matter if you're listening, wherever you're listening from, if you're listening to the podcast after the fact, please try to get to 100% totality, because here's what I'll tell you. 99% totality is okay. The sky gets dark, and it is okay. But there is a massive difference between 99% and 100%. And if you can get to a spot where it is 100% totality, the sky indeed gets dark. There is a 360-degree sunset. The birds start chirping. Crickets come out. The temperature drops 10 or 15 degrees. There is this amazing moment of 100% totality that is unrivaled even at 95, 97, or 99%. So we need to take that lesson with us, whether it's our children, our grandchildren, whether you're going through college, whatever you're doing right now, don't give it your 99%. Give it your 100%, because 99%, yeah, you'll see the fruits of it, but 100%, the birds start chirping and the stars come out.
I understand that south of Marshall, between Marshall and Conway, for those of you down 65, you'll find that total. My son, or my sister, lives in Searcy, Arkansas, which is north of Little Rock, and they're to have 100%, so my son's going down there to check it out. So across Arkansas, but Texas is touting, yeah, our skies are clearer, so come here. I just hope that with all of this that we have some clear weather close to us, because there's going to be a lot of people wanting to see that, and I hope they're all able to.
Well, I'm so glad Dave brought that up, because I read the headline and I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to the Super Bowl, it's outdoors, and it's 31 degrees and it's raining. No way, we don't do Super Bowls outside anymore. We go inside. And so now I've planned my trip, I got my reservation, I paid $300 for my hotel room, and the Weather Channel said,
it's cloudy.
We don't want that to happen.
Have you ever seen a total eclipse under cloudy skies? Do the clouds all turn dark and the same dark thing?
You know, I have never seen a total eclipse when it's cloudy. I've seen a partial eclipse here in Tennessee when it was extremely cloudy. And what the, you know, again, you have to pretty much get to totality before the sun gets really, really dark, because the sun is so bright. So I don't know what would happen if it's solid clouds. I have a friend who has seen a total solar eclipse through spotty clouds, and they said that it did break in time for them to see totality.
Wow. Well, let me tell you something. They've said it for years, and Keith and I are two old geezers. We're old enough to have been, you know, when the sun was first created, right, Keith? But we've heard all of this. God's got it just perfectly. If we were too close to the sun, we'd burn up.
Yep.
Too far away, we'd freeze to death.
Yep.
This is a perfect example. Hey, we got to get out of here, but I got one last question for you, which was the topic of our entire conversation today.
Yeah, we haven't got to.
How does this national election relate to science and faith?
Yeah. This national election and every election heavily relates to science and faith. People always say elections are about politics. And my politics dictate whether I'm going to be radical left, whether I'm going to be super conservative right. And what I will tell you is that that is baloney. Politics and elections aren't really decided on political issues. They're decided on science and faith issues. And if I just had to point out a couple, what I'm telling you is, well, abortion would be kind of a big deal during this election,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Well, abortion has to do with, when does life begin? Well, how do we figure out when life begins?
I know.
We look at science.
Do you know?
Yeah.
At the moment when the sperm enters the egg, bam, your hair color, your DNA, your Purdue Boilermaker background, all of it, right? Bam, right there.
There you go. And again, science is the one that tells us that, because at the moment of conception, that individual has his or her own 100% unique DNA code, different from the mother, different from the father. That means that we decide court cases on murder based on DNA of the victim and of the murderer, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if that individual in the womb has its own 100% DNA, unique DNA, then that means that a court case could be decided on that person. Did you notice that I used the word person?
Yes.
That means that it is a human being. That's when life begins. So that's the scientific side of it. And then if we look at the biblical side of things, we also see these same types of issues popping up. The difference between men and women, the idea that each individual is born, conceived with purpose, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, made in the image of God, that God wrote their book before they were born. That means that they had a unique book written about them before they were born. That means they are a person. So is it a political issue when we're dealing about with abortion? No, it's a science and faith issue. It's how we look at God's word, and it's how we understand science to work. We could throw that same ideology in any other field of politics, whether it is environmentalism, whether it is, you know, where did we come from? Are we ape-like ancestors? All of these things, they go right back to science and faith. It has nothing to do with politics.
Well, if there's evolution, then why are there still monkeys? Number two, I have another question. I was trusting you really, really good until you this last few minutes, and he really messed me up, Keith, because it's not about abortion, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
It's about reproductive rights. Mm-hmm. Well, and health of the... What are you talking about? It's exactly what David just said.
Absolutely.
David, we're going to take a break here in just a minute and do the verse of the day, but we're going to have you wrap up some things for us. But let's just see if you can answer a major question. It is NCAA basketball time, and Keith is finally going to get into this deal this year because these Nebraska Cornhuskers are in it. But what, more than basketball, what's the most important thing about Purdue University, David?
I am so sorry. I don't know if I can answer that one.
Wait a minute. Hey, David. Do you have Wonders Center and Science Museum and you don't know this answer?
David, there's scientists come out of there.
No, they're astronauts, Keith.
Oh, astronauts.
There's more astronauts out of Purdue University than any other major university in the United States, and you don't know that, but you do now.
Now you know.
Now I know.
So if Purdue gets upset by the number 16 seed, you can say, hey, you sure got good astronauts.
Got good astronauts.
So tell us and wrap us up today here, and do me a favor. You just made the list, buddy. In fact, we have a top 20 list. You made the top five. We're putting you on the list. We're going to ask our producer to call you back and have you back with us. We want to tell people about the museum. But would you come back with us sometime and have this kind of discussion?
I would love that. And Charlie and Keith, I would love to have you personally to the largest science museum in Tennessee, the Wonders Center and Science Museum, for a VIP tour.
Whoa.
Maybe you could even do a broadcast from the museum.
Hey, that would
That's
be
That's what
fun,
I'm talking about,
it?
Keith.
Yeah, that'd be
you go
all
over
right.
there and get you some three and meat, four and meat. What
three,
are you?
Three, no, meat and three, or meat and two. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I would look forward to it. And y'all, sign up for, see, we send out a free magazine every other month. It's a print magazine. It has science articles, kids' activities. It's great for grandkids. It's called the Creation Club Magazine, and you can sign up for that at our website, davidreeves.com. That's David, RIVES.com. And then you can also learn a lot more. I mean, I lead African photo safaris every year. We do all sorts of fun things like dinosaur digs, and you just need to get plugged into what we're doing. And then come visit us. If you're ever in Nashville, plan your trip to the Wonder Center and Science Museum.
David, right. The reason I know that Reeves is spelled wrong, he had to spell it for people, okay, to get it right, because he knows himself it's spelled wrong.
Yeah, but he didn't have a choice.
I'm going to get you the name and address. I'll get it to our producer, and we'll get it to you. There's people that have a farm in Kansas that have had many, many archaeological dinosaur digs with Mr. Ball and others. I'll get you their contact information so you can know where that's at.
So, Charlie, I'm actually texting with them as we're doing this interview. They're dear friends of mine.
Oh, my goodness.
See? There you go.
Small world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell them hello. Okay.
I just did.
Tell them hello
from Branson. In fact, Charlie, here's what they said. They said, we know Charlie Ingram way too well. He is a serious character. And that sounds like it wraps you up perfectly.
I think you got the wrong people.
Character does describe it, David.
David, before we let you go, we'll have our producer reach out to you. Just a great job this morning. We really, really appreciate it. Keith.
Thank you so much.
One person wanted to say something before they left the room.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember who it was.
Oh, you forgot?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to think about it in a second.
Okay. David, we're going to put a link on our KLFCRadio.com website so everybody can find your website and listen to the podcast because you've been great this morning, and we certainly appreciate it. And I'd like to hear your take on the total eclipse. And I hope you find clear skies above you, my friend.
Thank you, Keith.
Hey, that'd be a great deal. We'll have the producer get back with you, and we'll talk to you after the full eclipse.
Oh, I would love it.
Now, yes. I remembered one of them. Did you see the headline the other day where the PETA people asked Jill Biden to not use eggs at the Easter egg roll?
Oh, they wanted to use potatoes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is one of the most ridiculous things, because what we've done is we have placed eggs, chicken eggs, over humans. We are thinking more about our family pets than we're thinking about human life.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, it all boils back to the idea that we're animals, we're the result of evolution. You know, in your previous half hour, you were talking about the Holocaust. Well, similar to the Holocaust, we had Joseph Stalin, who is leading the Soviet Union, killing millions and millions of individuals. He's an atheist. He's promoting atheistic education in the schools. He's doing these atrocious acts. And he was walking with a childhood friend one day when he said this. He said, you know, they're fooling us. There is no God. I will lend you a book to read, and it will show you that the world is quite different from what you imagined. This talk about God is sheer nonsense. And his friend said, you know, what are you talking about? Joseph Stalin, what are you talking about? And Joseph Stalin said, Darwin, you must read it. In other words, Charles Darwin is one of the reasons that Stalin and Hitler and these other horrible men were able to commit these atrocious acts. We have to get back to the truth of God's word and the truth of creation.
Amen.
And let me tell you how spot on you are today. The friends you're texting with, their daughter-in-law's dad lives in my old house. And my old house is right ahead of Keith's old house.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what we were going to sing now.
They threw us both out of the neighborhood.
Yeah, when we start singing This Old House. Okay. We're done today, Keith.
All right, David.
I think we're finished.
All right, David, have a blessed and wonderful day. Enjoy the eclipse. We look forward to speaking with you next time.
I look forward to it. Thank you both.
God bless you.
Hey, it's 8:16 this morning on Good Morning Ozarks. Great interview. Go to KLFCradio.com. Later today, listen to David Reeves. He did an excellent job.